How's it going?
Well,
all good?
Yeah, we're doing really well now. It's been a long journey. 2013 it all started. I just popped out to see my father in hospital. Came back and Robbie was on the floor in the bathroom.
Were you? Do you remember it? Looks like a war wound, doesn't it?
You don't mind, do you? Proud of it.
For several months, I'd been spending my days getting to know people with brain injuries.
Louis! How are you doing, Dad?
The most precious part of our human anatomy is also one of the most mysterious, and damage to it can lead to unpredictable changes of ability and behaviour. I'd been curious to get inside the experience of people whose bodies and minds have been radically altered.
As far as you are aware, you feel you're the same person.
Yes.
Rob, is that your perspective as well?
No.
Trying to find their place in lives that no longer seem their own.
You feel you don't really need to be here.
I don't. I want my independence.
And of reconnecting in relationships in which everything has changed.
BBC, Louis Theroux, A Different Brain. The letter R blinking in the title. Daytime.
At Daniel Yorath House, a brain injury unit near Leeds, I was meeting Earl Linton.
Hi, Earl. Louis, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Pleased to meet you.
Yeah, pleased to meet you.
2 years earlier, Earl had been involved in a fatal car crash in which he'd sustained a serious head injury.
Oh, so this is your spot? Oh,
this is my spot, just up.
Charged with death by dangerous driving, but unfit to stand trial, he'd been given a supervision order overseen by the unit. With us for our chat was Dr. Yasmin Precious and Earl's mum, Patricia.
Can we look at some of the things that are important to you in this room?
Yeah, obviously my Arsenal scarf. Arsenal, we're going to win title this
Did
year.
Did you support Arsenal before the brain injury?
Yeah.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah, I love football.
Show me some of your clothes.
I don't really bring my expensive clothes down here because all I'm doing is lounge about.
Earl just wants all expensive stuff now. Before he wasn't bothered. Mm-hmm. But now he just wants all name brand clothes and...
What are these?
This is mouthwash.
But he brushes his teeth 3 times as well. He goes in the shower. He'll brush his teeth in the shower, he goes in the bath, he gets out of the bath.
Got a lot of OCDs.
All in the same time and brushes his teeth. And at home, he has to have 2 different toothpaste, if not 3. He does things in 3s and 5s for some reason.
So how did you come to be in a brain injury unit?
Well, what it was in 2013, I suffered a severe brain injury in a road traffic accident. I had to learn how to walk again, talk again, eat again.
How long were you in hospital for?
I can't really remember. I think you know Mum, don't you?
Yes, he was in hospital for a month. They transferred him into the community to a neuro rehabilitation outday patients where he was going.
Start again, you got that totally wrong.
Earl came home for a short period of time from Northern General Hospital and then he had to go back into a rehabilitation unit for another month. And then he came back home to be...
No, you've got it totally wrong again. You're really annoying me.
Please say it yourself.
Just say it. Earl was taken home against the doctor's wishes.
No, I'm not going to say that again.
You know what? Here's what... Let's focus on... Because what...
Well, she's saying a month, yeah? I was there for 6 months,
It wasn't.
In which one?
I was at Osborne Building for 6 months,
You wasn't.
Yeah? Why are you...
Wait, hold on, guys. Can I jump because...
I was at Osborne Building for 6 months. I left in April. 2014. No. I was there for 6 months, Osborne Building, and newer rehabilitation.
6 weeks.
The newer rehabilitation.
You did 6 weeks.
Yeah. I was at Osborne Ward, but they couldn't do anything for me because all my physical injuries, like broken bones, was healed.
Then he came home and he was just chucking things around the house, verbally abusive, kicking the doors.
So in a way, it sounds like after you'd got better physically, there were these other things to do with your behaviour and the way your brain was working that were still problems. Is that right?
Yeah.
He's very enthusiastic, but when it comes round to doing it, Earl might go one day. This is what he does in this at home.
Earl's playing the music.
My bitch, I buy her Jimmy Choo's. Yeah. Earl never used to listen to this music before as well. Earl has come back a completely different person.
Oh, why are you listening to that music? You're not a thug. You're not like that. This isn't your life. You don't live that life. Stop listening to this. People selling drugs and using guns. That's not you. So why are you listening
to it? He would never. He wasn't into anything like that before, Earl.
You said he came back from the injury.
I've got a different son. He looks like my son. That's Earl, but he's got a different soul inside him. He's a different person. He's not Earl. He is Earl, but he's not. It's okay.
I'm still alive.
I know you are. He's just a different person. I can't help it, I'm sorry.
Patricia puts her arms around her son, a net curtain moving at an open window. The red brick exterior of the centre. Now, Louis driving.
Daniel Yorath House is part of a network of similar units around Britain. Run by the Brain Injury Rehabilitation Trust, they have the delicate job of housing and supporting people with serious brain injuries as they relearn skills and rediscover who they are. The effects of brain injury can be profound and sometimes include impulsiveness and even changes in personality.
You remember that, Paul? Show you first, yeah?
Friends and family may need to work out new relationships, while their loved one has to do the rehab necessary to get their life back on track.
Nearly there.
At Redford Court, a unit in Liverpool, I was with Dr. Ivan Pittman. We were about to see Dan Park.
Dan, hi.
Hi.
Are we okay to come in?
Yeah.
Louis.
Hello, Louis. Nice to meet you. My name's Daniel.
Dan's family was nearly 200 miles away in London, and so his goal was to live independently. But he'd just moved back into the main unit, following some issues with his behaviour.
So one of the things we've been talking about at the moment with Dan is we just scaled things back a bit, didn't we? We just kind of limited Dan's kind of access off the unit without staff. Yeah. So what are the kind of things that I'm really interested in you working on when you're going out? Can you think? I suppose sometimes I worry that you're over-friendly.
Yeah, I talk to anyone.
Yeah.
You go up to strangers?
No, not up to them. Like, if we're in a queue or something, yeah, I tap them on the shoulder and say, take their time, isn't it? And then I'd start a conversation.
Dan's got a great sense of humour.
Humour is important, isn't it?
Absolutely. But sometimes, again, and this is just part of
it. I take it too far.
Do you?
Yes. Yes.
Give me an example.
Right, and there's one year when, like, the team senior was downstairs, yeah, and I pulled the two psychologists, yeah, to the side, yeah, and I just said to them, like, oh, you know, I've had enough of this and everything, yeah. And I pulled a joke knife out of my pocket and I went like this, yeah. And I told one of them what I was going to do, yeah, and she was laughing, yeah. And then the one that never knew anything, yeah, she jumped, yeah. And as I turned around, yeah, Maggie came up to me and went, Dan, that was totally inappropriate. I'm going to tell Barry, I'm going to tell Ivan. Apparently Ivan heard about it and laughed.
Well, I was surprised at people being startled by it, because it's a good practical joke, isn't it? But from Maggie's perspective, she was thinking, really hurt yourself.
If you thought Dan was stabbing himself in the chest for real, and you were in charge of taking care of him, it wouldn't feel funny at the time, would it?
And that's the difference.
Quite frightening.
Yeah. And I said, Jenny, I just found this brick on the stairs. Yeah, I think the building's falling apart. Here you go. And I threw it, yeah. She was like, no! It's a polystyrene brick.
But she might have thought it was a real brick.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then you would think you were about to get hurt, wouldn't you?
Yeah. They do. It's funny though, I mean.
We kind of know you well, don't we? So we, in a sense, know that you've got lots of strengths. The thing that sometimes trips you up, but that's inhibition, isn't it? Then that's where your injury in your brain is. You know, the front part of the brain is the part that kind of stops us from doing things.
So you had a head injury, is that right?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
But it was when I was 14 in 98, yeah. And I got rushed to hospital, like, I got hit by a transit van.
Transit van?
Yeah, I spent just over a year in a coma. And when I woke up here, one of the nurses told me I'd lost just over a quarter of my brain.
Really? I mean, would the ultimate goal be for you to go out and live on your own, do you think?
Yeah, but
the thing we have to remember, isn't it, is that whilst we've got to be careful that you know, we talk about living independent, and that's feeling really nice and a great idea. I'm thinking that Dan actually would do really well in a little communal setting, maybe a shared house with a few other people, with staff being present. So, yeah, yeah, yeah. OK.
Dan high-fives the doctor, then Louis and his camera operator. A poster reads, "Maintain the relationships that are important to you."
For most of those in rehab, the ultimate aim is to move back into the outside world full-time. It's an enormous step, combining the physical challenges of everyday life with the emotional ones of being amidst family again. In Cornwall, I was about to meet Rob Barnard.
Hi, Rob.
Good morning. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
After 2 years of residential rehab, Rob's wife Amanda had rejoined the family 3 days earlier in a new house equipped with an annex.
So this is your new house?
Yes. This is all the main bit. We have...
And you've been here for how long?
2 weeks this weekend.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
And who's down here?
So this is Oscar.
How are you doing? How old are you, Oscar?
Six.
Six.
So this is Ollie.
Hello.
Hi, Ollie. Louis.
Okay.
Nice to meet you. How are you doing?
Nice to meet you. Good.
Everything good?
Yep.
What were you playing just then?
I was watching YouTube.
Was it Stampy?
Yes.
How do you know?
Was it Stampy Longnose? Was it?
Yep.
See you later. Nice to meet you, Ollie.
So this is Amanda's sitting room.
Okay.
And at the minute, where Amanda's support worker stays overnight. Bedroom, Amanda's kitchen. Whether she uses it or not, I don't know. She hasn't yet, so it's fine. There is a lock on there, but that was one of Amanda's stipulations, that she wanted the door locked.
She wanted a lock on the door?
Yes. Yeah.
What's that about?
Perhaps a bit of privacy. I think, you know, she's been in an institution for such a long time. I think for her to come home and have just a bit of independence, to be honest, Amanda.
Amanda had been a veterinary nurse before falling from a horse 2 years earlier.
Here she is.
What?
We've been going on a little tour of the...
Magical mystery tour.
It was magical. That's Amanda, isn't it?
Yep.
Is Amanda in... Is that,
that's Amanda,
is that
Amanda? Yeah. What was that for?
Abernite.
Oh, yeah.
And where are you, Rob?
There.
Yeah.
There.
Well, that's you. And, Rob, what kind of work do you do?
Marine engineer.
Marine engineer. Mm. What does that mean?
Attempting to fix people's boats.
Okay. So on Wednesday you came back from the unit.
Yes.
You're in this new place, this new house that you've bought specifically to cater to the needs that you now have. How are you liking being back so far?
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we went on a little walk around and Rob had said that you were very clear that you wanted your own space.
Yes.
Now, before the injury, you would have shared a bed, I'm sure, and not had your own little bit of the house. So what's changed for you?
I don't know, really. The other house that we moved from to come here, I used to stay in the spare room, and it worked. Mm. My teeth then sharing a bed with somebody who smells.
Who's that?
Him.
Come on.
You can't smell.
I can't anymore, but I know you do smell. You grovel around in the bottom of a fishing boat in guts and wee and... Oh, and you come home and you don't shower.
I do.
You don't. He doesn't.
And Robin mentioned that you were quite keen even for a lock on the door.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that about?
When I want to be by myself, I can make sure nobody just keeps coming in, especially with kids. It's not that I don't want to see them, but there are times that I want to be by myself.
And as I understand it, to begin with, you were saying that you'd like to come out to your own house.
Yes.
And not even be in the family home.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Why was that?
I don't know. I just thought I'd be better on my own. Me and my dogs and my cats.
Amanda having her own house isn't doable. She would need 24/7 carer. You know, it's cheaper for Amanda to go to a care home. That's a 38-year-old going into a care home. No way. That's just...
I wouldn't have minded.
No, sadly.
As far as you are aware, you feel you're the same person.
Yes.
And you've got some physical things that you need to work on.
Yes.
But they haven't been sort of, in your own sense of things, kind of personality changes or even... brain damage, if you like.
That's how I feel.
Is that how you feel about it? Rob, is that your perspective as well?
No. No, I mean, Amanda's still Amanda, of course. There's still lots of Amanda. I say the old Amanda, it's not the right word to use, but there's definite changes, you know, without a doubt. Especially on the emotional side of it, I find that quite hard. Your emotions are quite flat, and I do notice that things annoy you more. I mean, you've always said that you've lost your squishy side.
The risk of asking an intrusive question, so you've been together 22 years. That's a long relationship.
Yes.
Were you happy together?
Yes.
Very. Yeah. Good team. Best buddies. It's good. Yeah, it was good. It still is good. Just different. For the time being. We'll get there. That's the plan. Yeah.
Stop tapping.
I know, drumming constantly.
Stop it.
So this is all the stuff from the unit?
It is, yeah, yeah.
Unpacking boxes.
Clothes, a coat, shoes.
Shoes, trainers.
Pictures!
Amanda, can I see that picture?
You are.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? It's only been since Wednesday, but is it nice having Mummy back in?
Yeah.
Quite a big change, isn't it?
Properly. Yes.
Oh.
That's too quick and rubbish.
Where's Daddy?
Ollie walks off. His brother's playing a video game in another room. A ferry on the river, then the Liverpool skyline with the Liver Building in silhouette. In a suburban street.
Yeah, we've got to swim it.
Yeah, you know the way, don't you?
Yeah.
At Redford Court, I was with Dan and his assistant psychologist, Alice Little. We were on a therapeutic outing to a local cafe.
So what's the plan? Just to get coffee?
Coffee, breakfast.
And then, Alice, you're here to sort of offer feedback or...
Yep.
What's the idea? What are we looking for?
The idea is Dan has such a lovable, likeable personality,
yeah,
which we absolutely love about him. But I think it's fair to say, Dan, that sometimes you can be a little bit over the top,
yeah,
with your jokes,
yeah,
and it sometimes might put him in a bit of an awkward situation with the public. So what we do is we take Dan out, we let him do his thing, and just offer a little bit of feedback.
Yeah, criticise me when I get back.
Hey! Criticise is the wrong word. Advice.
Sorry. Positive feedback.
Positive feedback, thank you.
Can I have an omelette with salad and hummus? Large hot chocolate, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What strikes me about you is that you seem very well equipped to deal with the wider world. So I'm wondering what it is that's stopping you in the outside, well, from being there, basically.
It's just loneliness, really. I mean, I don't think I'll be able
to... There's lots of lonely people who don't get to kind of move into Redford Court.
Yeah.
What do you see it as, Alice? I'm not quite getting it.
Because Dan was originally in the main unit, and then...
Redford Court.
At Redford Court, in the main building. And then he moved into a self-contained flat. So he had unescorted community access, so he was able to go off into the community whenever he wanted, which is now what we're aiming to reintroduce with Dan. And you got involved with the wrong sort of people, and it led to a bit of drugs.
Yep. You did, Dan. Got involved with the wrong people. What were they like?
They were nice. No, one of them was a girl I started to see, yeah? And 2 weeks into the relationship, yes, I know she was smoking and selling it, like weed and stuff, yeah? And then I just started smoking after a couple of months, knowing this woman, started buying off her, and like, she had 2 kids, so I gave her my Xbox and, like...
Do you remember your life before the accident, quite clearly?
Yeah, I used to do boxing, I used to like running.
You like running? Were you good at school?
No, I was always bunking.
Bunking off?
Yeah, I got moved to prison when I was about 18 and a half.
What for?
Robberies, nicking bags, nicking mobile phones, shoplifting.
You were in a coma for a year and a half. You came out, you had disabilities associated with the brain injury. And then you went into nicking bags. How did that happen?
Crack.
Some guy introduced it to me one night in a hotel, and it was nice, so I started spending 1 month on that. When I first went to prison, I was about 8 and a half, yeah, I weighed 4 and a half stone.
You weighed 4 and a half stone, yeah. When you were 18?
Yeah.
Louis shocked.
Yeah, it's not the life I want to live like.
Louis gazes sympathetically at Dan. Then the trio spend some more time at the cafe table. A sign reads, "Welcome to Redford Court." The residents are playing a game with oversized cards.
High roll over the queen, Bob. High roll over. You're going low than the queen. Low than the queen.
Back on the unit, and my plan was to start settling into the daily life of rehab.
It's a truth.
Most of the residents were there because of car crashes, falls, strokes and aneurysms, and had a broad spectrum of abilities. I was curious to meet someone who'd been there for many years and who depended on round-the-clock support in order to perform daily tasks.
Hello.
Hello. Now, you have to be nice to me, otherwise I cry. You know me too well.
15 years into her rehab, with 8 of them at Redford Court, Natalie Smith is one of the unit's veterans.
How are you? I'm Louis.
Hello, Louis.
Nice to meet you. Oh, that's nice.
You got a kiss, though? Yeah, you got a kiss. Before you come to this house.
Very nice.
I'm well, Susan. I've been well on the ladder.
Should we go in? Come on in. So we're making a documentary.
People's rooms, or people's what they say at, or what they do.
About recovery from head injury.
Oh, me. I'm doing them.
Which, I think you had a head injury, is that right?
Oh, goodness, it's actually terrible, but I don't give monkeys. I just get on with life and enjoy it to that extent of enjoyment. Mm.
Do you remember what was the nature of the injury?
Well, I fell. You know, I fell somewhere.
Can't remember. Yeah.
Is there anything you wanted to show me in the room that is special to you?
Do my old paintings.
A photo of Natalie.
What's going on there? You look like you're welding.
Yeah.
Making an artwork. Mm. Are you an artist?
Oh, a piss artist. But you know what I mean?
That shows some artistic talent, that does.
Yeah, that's what I
did. You study art? Did you study art?
I studied art, yeah, an art degree. I've got an art degree.
No, I've just seen up on the poster it says, my goals, my recommendations. Would we be allowed to look at
that? Oh, of course you can. There? Come on, gavel.
Let's go over there then. My goals is I want to leave Redford Court and live with my mum to help her. Mum. So one of your goals is actually to leave.
To
move on.
Move on. I like to do
that. Did you hear that?
Yes.
So that is a goal. That's a therapeutic goal that is being worked.
That would be a goal, but it wouldn't be actual for Natalie to move back home to her mum. No, it's unrealistic, really, that goal. Although she would maybe in her feelings.
We recognise that Miss Smith has a number of inappropriate behaviours.
I fart a lot. But I think we all do that.
Everyone does that, including verbal, gestural and physical behaviours.
I'm too much of a heart. I like this, just move here. You can't all grow up this crumb.
We've lost her.
Definitely.
You will.
Nice looking man, you see.
Natalie turns away from one of Louis' crew.
I can't be rude to people. I don't think that's right myself.
Don't be rude to people, yeah?
Yeah, verbally be inappropriate. Verbally inappropriate, things like that.
Which is what?
I know exactly what that is, though. And you do as well. It is. Shake my hand, you little chunky monkey, cheeky monkey.
See you later. Lovely to see you.
Bye, love. Bye. Bye. Bye, gorgeous.
Natalie and her family had given permission for Sue, her support worker, to disclose more about Natalie and her injury.
There's so much warmth there, isn't there?
She's just full of love and warmth for others. She really is. She's very, very caring.
I suppose the scary part is one could imagine out in the community, unscrupulous people could take advantage
of. She'd be too vulnerable to live out in the community. She is dependent on support.
24/7.
She said she had a brain injury of some kind.
Yeah.
Did she say she had a knock on the head or something?
Yes, that's what Natalie said.
But that's actually not quite right, is it?
No, Natalie attempted suicide with overdosing of... She's a type 1 diabetic, so she injected herself with too much insulin. Unfortunately, it caused a brain injury. Yeah.
How old was she?
Natalie was 33.
She was 33 when it happened.
Yeah. So she was still a young lady, you know.
So she's forgotten that?
That's completely forgotten, yeah. And I think even if you were to remind Natalie every week about what she did to herself, she'd still forget.
Louis reflects. Nighttime outside the unit. Now, Louis's on the road. Arriving at his destination, he goes to watch a boys' football match.
I was back with Earl, the young man I'd met on my first day in Leeds. He spends his weekends away from the unit at home with his family in Sheffield. He and his mum and his friend Warren were showing their support for Earl's little brother, Romani.
Romani, keep up, Zimmy, and keep going.
Do you know the score?
3-0 for them.
Come on, Romani.
Stronger! Hit it! Ref! Fuck off!
Earl, I've told you. No, Earl,
to
swear.
Earl, please.
That's it.
Well,
nice.
Sin! Yeah!
Yeah!
Come on, boys, that's better!
That was good. So were you two at school together?
Yeah.
And what do you do now, Warren?
Yeah, security.
Security?
Yeah.
He's like, my mum treats him as his son. Yeah. So when the accident happened and that, he took it badly and stuff, really struggled hard. But because of my brain injury, I annoy him a lot of the time with some of the immature stuff I do.
We talked to Patricia about this a couple of days ago, and she was talking about Earl as having a slightly different personality since the accident in some respects. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
In what way?
Just the way he like acts towards people and stuff like that, like he gets mad with like his mum a lot, like a little like easy a lot.
She does my head in.
And she's only trying to help him out. Like before he wouldn't do stuff like that.
Well, she treats him like a kid. She treats him like a kid.
You act like a kid.
Back at her house, and Patricia had laid on lunch.
So what's in there, Mum? Could you just tell us, please?
Curry mutton. It's a favourite Caribbean dish, Jamaican dish. And then you can take him over to the table and introduce Louis, but I'm sure he's had Caribbean food before.
I haven't had it as much as I'd like.
I was hoping to get a little deeper into Earl's story. I'd learned that it had been a friend of his that had died in the car crash.
That'll do for now.
I was also curious to see his behaviour at home.
It's delicious, I tell you what, so tender.
Thanks. This is Earl at college, on his second year.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did he used to cook for you before the injury?
Yes. Yeah. He learnt me to cook some nice dishes like beef bourguignon and dolphin wall potatoes, which I've never done in my life, and homemade gravy and not gravy granules. You couldn't go back to homemade gravy from once I learnt to cook at college.
I put a mirepoix on, that's carrot, celery, onion, leek.
He doesn't do all that anymore, he's not capable, but hopefully, with time.
For afters, there was FIFA 15 in the front room for the youngsters, while I had a moment alone with Patricia.
Funny. There's Warren.
Photos.
There's Earl.
That was when he was 18, they all went on holiday.
That's a nice one.
He's very young, isn't he?
When you said before, you said, my son's gone, or I don't recognise him, or he's a different person.
It is. The only thing that's the same about Earl is his looks, and then his eyes aren't the same, because when I look in his eyes, he's got a dead look behind his eyes.
Does that mean your feelings have changed a bit?
No. I love him just the same, if not even more.
Even though he's a different person, in your view?
He's a different person, but he's still my son. He behaves, I don't like his behaviour. I don't like his actions at times, but I love my son and I always will, regardless. Just got to keep strong and give him a strong foundation to keep learning, and hopefully he'll get it. And if he doesn't get it, I'll just continue to do what I'm doing until my days have done. And then his sister will look after him, because we've got no choice.
How much can you say about the accident and how it happened? Who was in the vehicle when it crashed?
There was Earl in
there. Earl, who was driving.
Yeah. His friend and his ex-girlfriend. Earl pulled in front of an ambulance and clipped the curb, lost control of the car. The car went across the road. He ended up going down on the tram lines and it wrapped round the tram line pole.
Am I right in thinking he was going too fast?
Yes, I'm made to believe he was doing about 50. Mm. And he'd only been driving 2.5 weeks as well, himself. So I thought you're doing all the right things, but obviously sometimes you're not.
You think there's something that you could have done that might have averted it?
Yes.
In what way?
Not bought him the car. It's that simple.
As Patricia wipes her tears, Earl says,
"Why are you crying on camera talking shit? You can see you on camera crying like that. It's sad, like, I feel sorry for you."
And this is what he does all the time, Louis.
Well, what do you think his mum's going to think when she sees it?
I'm not crying about that. It's Earl. He asked me a question.
She's crying now, someone's dead.
Well, you're leaping to all kinds of conclusions about what Patricia's been saying. And actually, she hasn't done anything embarrassing.
I'm going back tonight. I don't want to stay here, Mum. I actually don't want to stay here. I can't go off with the bullshit no more. Get the man to take me back. I'm not staying here.
Did you just lose at FIFA? Is that what happened? Did you come in here because you just lost at FIFA?
No, because only...
Did you just lose? Tell me honestly.
No, because... Yeah.
So that's... So you came in here in a mood...
And
took it out on your mum?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to say sorry to your mum.
What for?
For coming in here and making her feel bad.
I won't make her feel bad.
He looks down.
Sorry, Mum.
As Patricia shakes her head with a loving smile, Earl moves to her side, then they hug.
For all its turbulence and the turmoil caused by his injury, what was most striking about Earl and Patricia's relationship was that it was still so strong and unconditional.
A painting of the family smiling, mourning, and Louis driving through the countryside.
I was heading back to Cornwall to see Amanda and Rob. I was curious how they were getting on with their new arrangement, with Amanda back at home, living in an annex.
Hello.
I'd arranged to spend a Sunday with them.
Hi, Amanda. How are you doing?
I'm making cakes. I'm fine, thank you.
And Rob, how are you doing, Rob?
Yeah, all right.
Good to see you.
All okay?
Yeah, good.
Hi.
How long is it since I saw you all? Is it 2 weeks?
2 weeks, I think.
Yeah. How's it been going?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. Been difficult, isn't it? Oscar.
Difficult in what way?
Just we sort of had the idea that Amanda was going to be in the annex. That was her sort of prerequisite for coming home, was to, that she would stay in the annex, but she hasn't. So it's made it a little bit difficult. Amanda's not brilliant with the boys, just because she's got a bit of a short fuse and... As she says, she's lost her squidgy bit, so she'll go from being super, super nice to straight in and all singing and dancing, lots of shouting.
Cakes are ready for you to decorate.
Okay.
Come and ask.
I'll decorate them with blocks.
I mean, Ollie said to me the other day, he feels a little bit like Mummy's an intruder. And he thinks Mummy's in there somewhere and she can't get out. So, you know, things are like...
Back.
Hi, mate.
We were saying, though, that you said you found it a bit hard, Mummy being back. Why was that?
Because she's been shouting at me non-stop. Oh, it blew it. Sorry. Yeah, she's been shouting at me non-stop.
Yeah, well, I could see that would be hard.
Yeah.
Because of the brain injury.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oscar, are you hungry?
I'm chewing it.
Rob helps Amanda down some steps.
How do you feel now about being back? You feel it's the
it's
right...
It's nice.
It's the right move.
I get to see my kids every day, even if they don't want to see me. Well, you wouldn't cuddle me last night for bed. That made me sad.
I know, but...
I know, but what?
I was already in bed, like, snuggled up really, really, really...
I only wanted a cuddle. Do you care that you made me sad?
It's not that, it's...
You wouldn't give me a cuddle night-night.
No, it's not that, it's...
Do you still love me?
Yes. Why wouldn't I?
Because you don't behave like you do.
Ollie puts his hand to his face.
But you've enjoyed being back with the kids and...
Yes. And my dogs. I miss the dogs. My poor Diesel got old while I was away. He was normal when I left. And now he's a proper dodgy old bugger.
Don't swear.
Well, all right, boss.
I'm the boss.
You're not, you're a pest.
A photo of the happy family before Amanda's injury. In the present, an outing to the shore and its rock pools. Amanda's using a walking aid.
Oh, little chip.
Seated, she watches Rob and the boys playing, skimming a stone.
Nice.
Only a one bounce.
Are you in a sort of caretaking relationship or are you in a sort of husband-wife relationship?
Now, we have no husband and wife relationship anymore. There's no cuddles, kissing, I love yous, anything like that. That's gone. You know, that's gone since the accident, you know. I can't say to Amanda, God, I had a rough day, you know, at work, and she'll just say, and? What about me? I had a head injury.
You said she's still just as intelligent as she was.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But what?
The application of intelligence, they call it. So she's super clever, super as she was before. There's no loss of intelligence, but it's applying that intelligence to something. And yeah, it's the application.
She doesn't see herself as having these issues, these impairments.
No, that's right, the impairment. No. She can see physically, and she knows that her left arm, left leg and her speech, which, you know, when you talk to her, that's the problem. She has no insight into the effect it's had upon the boys and herself and me and the family and all that sort of thing. You know, I've got to give it a go. If it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But at least I can... At least if it doesn't work, we've tried every possible thing we could have done. And if it doesn't work, then we'll just have to see what happens, you know, then.
Ollie and Oscar are sitting on the wall alongside Amanda and her support worker. People wandering along the pebbly beach at sunset. Louis returns to Redford Court. He meets Natalie in the corridor.
Hello.
Smile! Come on, smile. Look at that.
I was back to see Natalie.
Nice to see you. How are you?
Great, come here.
Thank you.
Should we do your whiteboard?
Yes.
Before breakfast, yeah?
And the, oh, yeah, they were a good idea, that would be.
That's fine, OK. Can you tell me what day it is today, Nat?
Monday.
Yesterday was Thursday. Today is...
Friday.
Well done. And the date?
2014.
The date?
15. 15.
Yesterday was the 10th. Today is...
The 11th.
Yeah. And can you tell me what month this is?
Thanksgiving. December.
So what makes this day today special, Natalie?
It makes it special because it's a special time of the year where people can congregate or whatever they want to go to.
Yes, but and today, especially this day, is...
My birthday.
It's your birthday! It's your birthday! It's Natalie's birthday today!
Happy birthday, Natalie.
Happy birthday, Nat.
On a train.
For Natalie's birthday, we were off to North Wales.
Nicky!
Hey, I'm Louis.
Natalie's mum, Chris, was hosting a small party.
Pen,
number candles for Natalie's 49th on a cake, along with bowls of snacks and bottles of wine.
Pembroke happy, see Natalie. Pembroke happy, see he.
For me, it was also a chance to get to know the old Natalie.
What was she like before the injury?
Very gregarious. Mm. She had ups and downs. You know, when she was up, she was very... You know, you can see what she's like. She's almost manic. Lots of ideas and...
Artistic?
Yes, in all sorts of ways. That's when she developed diabetes. She looked like something out of Belsen. You know, lost a lot of weight.
How old was she when she got married?
She got married in 1997, so she was 30, was she?
30, yeah.
Well, yes, but it didn't last, and it just sent her a bit off her trolley, as you might say, yeah.
Do you mean she had a sort of depressive episode?
Yes, I'd seen it coming. The writing was on the wall, as far as I was concerned.
In what way?
Well, I could tell that she wasn't stable and well. She was with friends. And they went out for the day because she said she didn't feel well. And when they came back, she was in a coma. But they didn't recognise it. They thought she was asleep. So she was really very, very poorly when they realised that she was in a coma.
Hello, Mum.
Hello, Nat. What are you wearing this for?
Because I like it.
We're looking at some old photos.
Oh.
Where's that nice one?
That's when I got married.
Yeah.
Married her. Got rid of the husband, though. Why bother?
Yeah. But isn't that a lovely photo?
On me. With the high heels and all that stuff.
Do you remember it?
I remember it.
Was it a happy day?
It was a lovely day. When I got married, I thought it was going to be perfection. But it wasn't.
Well, nothing's perfection, is it?
Nah. Blood cod's door up, isn't it? You have to deal with what you got. That's what I say it is.
It's been 15 years since the injury, which is quite a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
How different would you say you are since the injury?
I feel a lot better now. Mm. Because I had an injury. So what? It happened. So what? It's gone now. Super duper. That's it. I don't need to worry about it anymore.
I would say that Natalie is the same person. She's my Natalie. Traits, the characteristics, the nature is still the same. I mean, we know she's got a brain injury and that presents a lot of problems, but she's still the same Natalie. And she's a loving, she's a loving, caring person. And she can light up a room, yes.
It's the festive period at Redford Court. Lights are flashing on a tree outside while Louis's in the dining room. Ivan's taking photographs of cakes.
First of all, I'd just like to say that it was an amazingly high standard of entry this year. And all of the cakes were delicious.
By now, I was several weeks into my time in the world of brain injury. Amid the range and unpredictability of the challenges faced by the people I'd met, I've been pleased to find consolations. Relationships that had become more difficult, but which, maybe because of that, were in many ways more rewarding.
Dan's at a cat rescue centre.
And in you go. Careful, this black one will bite my right shoulder.
She's finding my hand quite interesting.
Oh!
Didn't like that.
Back in Liverpool, Dan was doing some volunteer work at a local rescue centre.
Where have they come from?
They all come from different places. These two little ones, they're from our Welsh centre.
And the idea is to get them rehomed at some point?
Forever homes.
Forever homes. Would you like a forever home, Dan?
Huh?
A forever home.
A forever home? Not really.
Oh.
No, I'd like to move about.
You're a nomad?
Yeah.
But it's nice to have a home that you can go back to.
Yeah. At the moment, mine's Redford Court.
But there were rumblings about Dan on the unit. A close female friend had recently moved on. he'd been feeling low and disgruntled. He told me his true feelings about rehab were different to the ones he'd expressed on camera. He and Ivan had agreed to sit down for a summit.
One thing we haven't really talked about, which is a big thing I know in your life, Dan, is Sophia has moved on.
Yeah.
Do you miss her, Dan?
Yeah.
How much?
I don't know. Probably more than what I'd miss my arms. You know? I'd rather live in no arms than actually be without Sophia.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time together, didn't you? She's a big part of your time here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to be as mature as I can, yeah, because I want to get out of here now. Yeah. I don't want to be here no more.
Go on. Why do you want to get out of here?
Because I don't like it. I mean, I've done 14 years of rehab and I just want to get out of there and live.
You want to live. What does that look like?
I don't know. Sand and beaches and...
Do you live just by yourself or...?
I live by myself, but I want a house so that when my family do come up and see me, they can spend time with me.
And if and when the time comes, when you feel Dan is ready, you can sign off on him.
Absolutely.
Leaving, walking out the gates and leaving. Yeah. But at the moment, your feeling is he's not ready.
Yes.
It's one against
basically,
13.
You overrule Dan, which I can see from your position must be difficult, very frustrating. And that's sort of where we are in a way, isn't it? That's the position we're in.
And that feels wholly unfair to you, Dan, doesn't it?
Do you feel ready? You feel like you could walk out there and look after yourself? Yeah. Dan leaves.
Yes.
You sign him off and say, do you know what? His persuasive powers have convinced me he's ready.
Absolutely.
He goes off, and then what happens?
My concerns are, about Dan, is that things would start to slide. I'd be concerned that Dan, there wouldn't...
Things would start to slide. You think things would start to slide?
I'd be concerned that things would start to slide.
Well, why?
Dan would start making associations with people that were selling drugs, and that Dan would start kind of spending all his money on drugs and alcohol. And whilst he was under the influence of drugs and alcohol, he would then engage in behaviours that might actually put him in trouble with a peer. And I have those fears and concerns because in the past, that's some of the behaviour.
So they're in the past, yeah?
Yeah.
So are those fears and concerns going to be there tomorrow, next year, 10 years' time, 20 years' time, 30, 40 years' time, till death?
You have the abilities. But I need evidence that I can base my opinion on. And that's what I'm talking about, is that I want you to provide me with that evidence.
I think I'm going to go out for a cigarette.
All right, Dan. Thanks so much.
I can really feel what he feels. Yeah. Because Dan is very engaging and humorous and appropriate. And so you could see that from his perspective, he must take it as very infantilizing.
Yes.
And emasculating. I mean, you could argue that there's people in the world who don't really look after themselves very well, and we give them the autonomy to do that.
Yeah.
So what's different here?
So the big difference we're here really is it's when you come back to down to talking about people's capacity to make decisions, it comes back to whether they have a sound mind. Dan, in many ways, is still quite stuck in quite adolescent thought processes. So the world seems, in many ways, quite a simple process. And life is a little bit more complicated than just, I'll just live by myself and I'll be happy.
Someone getting their lunch on a tray in the dining room. Louis goes with Dan to some covered seating.
Okay. For more of Dan's perspective, we sat down one-to-one.
You feel you don't really need to be here?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, like Redford Court, is for people who need it. I can walk, get myself up in the morning, shower myself, get ready. I've done it now for like 12, 13 years. It's like being told to live your life, and I don't really need that.
I think the feeling perhaps from the clinicians and management is that you are vulnerable because of your brain injury.
I'm going to be vulnerable to them for the rest of the time here. You know, they're not going to let me go, because every day they're going to think, oh, Dan looks vulnerable, Dan looks vulnerable. I mean, like, I've gone 17 years of my life here. I've never been beat up. Yeah, these are saying that I've got. If I go out and make a joke about something, people are going to see it. So what? Let them look. You know, all I want is a chance to actually prove myself. You know, if I come back in 2 years and say, oh, look at me, I did it.
Dan looks thoughtful. Sunset at the coast and an offshore wind farm. Louis cooking with Rob.
Done that. Done. Add the coconut. Bring the coconut milk up to boil. Then add your dry ingredients and vegetables.
Right? Okay.
I was back in Cornwall, making one last visit to Rob and Amanda.
Are you ready to attempt this Thai green curry?
Is it worth attempting?
I hope so.
I'd been struck by the very understandable tension in their relationship. I'd wondered if it might help to talk about it.
Louis did the peppers.
Yeah, so be polite about the peppers.
I will be polite about the peppers. Beautiful peppers.
Do you feel in charge of your life?
Not at all.
Why not?
I have to have a support worker 24/7. So although I'm at home, I can get a drink when I want and do what I want, I'm still having to consider somebody else, not just me. So no, I don't feel in control of my life at all.
You are in charge of your life though, aren't you? Because,
yes.
I mean, whatever you wanted to do, I suppose if you wanted to badly enough, you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're slightly going along with things to please Rob and to spare the children any anxiety?
Yeah. Especially you. You laugh, it's not funny.
What's the not funny bit?
Any of it, the way I've been left, the way I am.
Of course that's not funny.
You laugh at me.
I wasn't laughing at you, I was just laughing.
Mm.
Amanda shakes her head.
Mm-hmm. Don't believe you.
No. No, the way you've been left is not funny in the slightest.
No.
I think it was a sort of laugh of at the foibles of relationships and how...
What, you're still grinning?
Yeah, I grin a lot.
It feels like you're a little bit angry with Rob.
He makes me out to be a bad person. You believe I'm a bad person. Mm.
Do you really? You really believe that about Rob? That he thinks you're actually a bad person?
Yeah, I do.
A malign influence in the world?
Yes. Take that grin off your face, smirky pants.
It's Mr. a grin Perfect. Counteracting.
You don't really think that about Rob,
do
you?
He doesn't like the way I am now. But like I said, the person he married died to death, and off that horse I am was left. And I don't think I'm enough for you anymore.
You don't feel loved by Rob?
No, not particularly. I feel like I'm a burden. Well, you see...
No, I'm just...
That's what you think I am?
No, not at all. If you were a burden... You know, we wouldn't have worked so hard to get you home.
Rob was saying that he would like more of the sort of cuddling, I love you stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to get back to a normal husband and wife relationship. For the last however long, I've kind of had to take in a slightly more of a parenty carer type role, haven't I?
You closed your eyes and shook your head when Rob was saying the bit about wanted more of a husband and wife relationship. What were you thinking about?
He's just a perv.
Okay.
Okay, just go and get a shag. I don't care.
But I haven't.
If you're gagging for a shag, go and get one. What's the matter with you? Why are you laughing at me?
What a conversation.
What's up, Bosca?
What do you need? I'll be back. Are you getting tired?
You're happy to be back.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes I think you'd rather be somewhere else.
I'd rather be in my own home.
What about a care home?
That wouldn't have bothered me if that's what.
Where would you rather be, here or a care home?
Here.
Yeah. You say you don't really feel loved by Rob. Do you still love him?
Yeah, we've been together 22 years. It doesn't switch off, but I feel like I'm a burden.
If you were in your own home, mm-hmm. somewhere else with the dogs, the pets, but you wouldn't, then you wouldn't be living with your kids.
They don't speak to me. It's not the same. It's all they can manage to say hello in the morning, and it is literally hello. Not hello, mommy. How are you? Have you slept well? Nothing. There's no conversation anymore. So I'm just stuck in the middle. A burden that can't hoover.
Bedtime with Oscar.
Where's the Spinosaurus? Can you just show him to me?
I left Rob and Amanda feeling their predicament was both painful and deeply relatable, and admiring the courage they showed in working so hard to keep their family intact.
On the sofa, Amanda puts her arm around Ollie. In slushy snow, Louis walking with Earl.
It's not far from the unit.
On the units in Leeds and Liverpool, there was only time for some catch-ups and goodbyes.
Is this your spot then? Yeah. Not too bad.
It's all right. It's a bit cold.
New digs. So you're in your own semi-independent accommodation, away from the main building.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it?
Moved on to the next part of my rehab.
So it's sort of a promotion of a sort, isn't it?
Feels like this is my home, and I found a sense of belonging.
How are we on the way?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Things are getting better now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you've been there 2 weeks now. And you're doing all right, aren't you? Still glad when you get home on a Friday, though. You said this Friday, oh, I feel better already. And he came home this weekend and it was as good as gold for me because I burned my arm. He's been so thoughtful, so considerate. It was like having the old Earl back. I couldn't believe it. Really couldn't.
Uniquely, among physical impairments, brain injury affects our deepest sense of who we are.
Blue eyes, brown eyes, with glasses.
In my time immersed in it, I'd met people caught between old and new selves.
It looks a bit like I'm wearing war paint.
Natalie's sketch.
Working to get their former lives back, but with a changed sense of who they now were.
Is that seriously for me?
Yeah. That just
popped.
Good.
Just popped.
To Dan.
The challenge they were engaged in was nothing less than to recreate themselves with new limitations, but also great possibility.